The portion of God's word that we'll focus on this evening comes from Psalm 90. Let's begin with prayer. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always pleasing in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Richard Overton passed away on Thursday. If you're wondering who Richard Overton is, let me tell you a little bit about him. Richard Overton served in the U.S. Army during World War II, fought in places like Pearl Harbor, Okinawa, and Iwo Jima, and yet survived all of them unscathed. And then after the war, he lived out his days in a house that he built with his own hands in Austin, Texas. And Richard Overton tells that every day he would eat a bowl of his favorite ice cream, butter pecan. And every day he would smoke 12 cigars. And every day he liked to drink some whiskey, either straight or mixed in with his coffee. And yet, despite those seemingly small odds for living a very long life, this past Thursday, when Richard Overton passed away, he was 112 years old. The oldest living World War II veteran, the oldest living man in America on the day that he died. 112 years old. And yet, as we prepare to cross the threshold of another year, I'm sure that all of us can look back on the past 365, and we can think of people in this world whose lives came to an end unexpectedly short. Stillborn babies, teenagers and young people and adults who lost their lives to things such as suicide or tragic accidents or fatal diseases. People that we weren't ready to say goodbye to just yet. See, when we're talking about life, whether it's a life that goes far longer than we'd expect or a life that seems to be cut unexpectedly short, our prayer has to be the same. The prayer from our psalm today, teach us, Lord, to number our days aright. And as we get ready to cross into a new year and reflect back on the year just passed, I think that's a good prayer for us to reflect on. And because in this prayer we're asking God to teach us something, we obviously need his help to do that. You see, numbering our days aright is about more than just being able to count some numbers. Numbering our days aright is a matter of our minds, but it's also a matter of our hearts. And so as we explore Psalm 90 tonight, we'll see that numbering our days aright requires us to do two things. First, it requires us to be realistic about your days. And it requires you to be purposeful with your days. First, be realistic with your days, or about your days. God's servant Moses wrote Psalm 90 during the 40 years of wandering that the Israelites had to carry out as the punishment for their sins against God as they were making their way to the Promised Land. And because of their rebellion against God and because of their lack of faith in God, God swore that none of the men of that generation were going to cross into the Promised Land alive except for two. Now Moses was included in those numbers of men who would never cross into the Promised Land before they died. And so with all of those men dying out there in the desert, man's mortality would have been very evident in the people's minds. So it makes sense that Moses would begin this psalm with six verses comparing and contrasting God's immortality with man's mortality. He says, Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. See, we can't number God's days, because as Moses explains here, our God is eternal. Before he brought forth the world and everything in it, God already was. From eternity and all the way through eternity, God was and is and always will be. Our God is immortal and eternal. And then we see Moses quickly move on to contrast that immortality of God with the very fragile mortality of mankind. He says, speaking to God, "You turn men back to dust, saying, 'Return to dust, O sons of men.' You sweep men away in the sleep of death. They are like new grass of the morning. Though in the morning it springs up new, by evening it is dry and withered." It's a reminder to us, isn't it? A reminder to us that our God is in complete control. He holds the strings of life and death in his hands. But it's also a reminder for us why inevitably every person in this world's life is going to come to an end. So Moses talks about God returning men back to dust. And he references that because that's exactly what God said would happen after Adam and Eve brought this world into sin. See, with sin comes death. And so because God had created Adam out of the dust of the earth, he told him that someday, as a result of his sin, his body was going to return back to the ground from which it came. And because you and I are sinners too, and every person in the world is a sinner, we can expect that same kind of fate. And that means we have to be realistic about our days. Now, when we hear that Richard Overton lived to be 112 years, our jaw kind of drops, doesn't it? But to God, 112 years is barely the blink of an eye. As Moses says, "For 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night." It's kind of interesting that Moses sort of uses 1,000 years as the high benchmark for a span of time. So in the Bible, in the span of time before the flood, we see a lot of different people who lived into their 900s. But not a single person recorded in the Bible makes it to 1,000. And so what Moses is reminding us here is to say, even the longest lifespan of mankind, in God's eyes, is nothing more than a day gone by or a three-hour watch in the night. And so these reminders, they can help us to be realistic about our days. Because we're sinful, we can expect that our life in this world is going to come to an end. But because God's time is so much different than our time, we don't know exactly when that's going to be. And so we need to be realistic. And being realistic about our days means that every single day that we can number in our lives is an amazing gift from God. And yet we can't assume or take for granted that our lives are going to last in this world for a very long time. It's important that we be realistic about our days, because being realistic helps us to be ready. If I jump into this new year thinking very realistically that my son could be coming into the world at any moment, then I'm going to be better prepared. Bags packed, car seats installed, grandma's on speed dial, because I'm realistically waiting for that moment to come. I know it could come at any moment, and so I'm going to be better prepared. But if I jump into the new year thinking very unrealistically and putting my feet up and saying, "You got plenty of time, don't worry about it," then inevitably I'm going to get caught unprepared. And thankfully my wife will have it taken care of. But you see, it's really the same way with our lives. See, if we're realistic about the number of our days and the fact that we never know when our life in this world is going to come to an end, then we can be better prepared for the moment that God calls our last day. But if we're unrealistic about the number of days that we have, what we're left with is sort of this false sense of invincibility. It's not going to happen to us anytime soon. Or we have sort of an attitude about our spiritual life that says, "I can worry about all that stuff later. I've got plenty of time to get my spiritual house in order." But if we're not realistic about our mortality, and the fact that our life in this world could come to an end at any point, we're going to be left unprepared for when that day comes, whether it's at 12 years or 112. But here's the beauty in this. See, God puts his immortality in front of us and shows that to us, compares it to our fragile mortality, not as a way of rubbing it in and saying, look how much better than you I am. No, God shows us his immortality as the answer to our mortality. Because if God is immortal and God is eternal, that means that he truly can be the refuge and the dwelling place for us for all generations. And so as we're realistic about numbering our days aright, we also want to be purposeful in what we do with those days. As Moses prays, teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Not a mind of wisdom, but a heart of wisdom. You see, in order to gain a heart of wisdom, wisdom about life and about death and about eternity, we need God to be the one that teaches us. And that's why my resolution and my challenge and resolution for you as a congregation is in 2019 to spend more time sitting at the feet of God and letting him teach us about how to number our days aright. But I'll talk more about that a little bit later. See, as you reflect on the past year, the last 365 days of your life, what would you say is the greatest achievement that you made in the past year? Go ahead, I'll give you about 15 seconds, 20 seconds to think about that. Come up with an answer, the greatest achievement that you carried out over the last year. Got one in your head? And let me ask you this. Did that accomplishment allow you to wake up every single morning of the past year feeling completely satisfied with your life? Did that accomplishment that you carried out allow you to wake up every single morning with a song of joy and gladness bursting forth from your heart and your lips? If you're like me, then the answer is no. That's not to say that those accomplishments are unimportant or that they're not good or that you shouldn't be proud of them. But I think it does give us an opportunity to reflect on what exactly we've made the priority of the past year and what actions we've taken and become very purposeful about carrying them out. And the reason we want to reflect on that is because Moses shares with us in this psalm the one thing that can truly satisfy us with our lives and fill our hearts with joy and gladness. Moses says, praise, satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all of our days. See, it's God's unfailing love that can give you complete satisfaction with your life every single day. It's God's unfailing love that can lead you to have this song of joy and gladness bursting forth from your heart every single day. Yes, our God is the God who holds the strings of life and death in his hands. But our God is also the God of unfailing love. The God who is our eternal refuge and the God who gives us the promise of eternal life in him, even whenever our life in this world comes to an end. And that's what drives us. That's what motivates us and leads us to be purposeful with these days of grace that God has given to us. If we're realistic about our mortality and about our life in this world, then we're going to do everything that we can to be spiritually ready for when our life in this world comes to an end. We're going to take steps to make the most out of our days spiritually by faith in Jesus, having a heart of wisdom through faith in him. And that's where that resolution that I mentioned before comes into the picture. Just think how different your life would be if every morning when you woke up, your heart wasn't filled with thoughts of worry or fretting or fear, but your heart was filled with trusting completely in the unfailing love of our God. Imagine how different your life could be if every night when you went to bed, instead of feeling dejected about your job or your spouse or your kids or your health, you went to bed every single night with a song of joy and gladness filling your heart because you knew of God's perfect unfailing love. That would change the way that you viewed everything in your life, wouldn't it? Everything would be different. And that's why I want to challenge you. That's why I want to challenge you and myself to carry out a resolution in 2019. To carry out a resolution that every single day of the year, we're going to be satisfied with our life because of God's unfailing love. We're going to be filled with joy and gladness in our life because of God's unfailing love. As daily, we're reminded of God's unfailing love as we daily take time to read His Word. Now, I know that it's difficult. I know that many of us have probably tried before to get through our entire Bibles, to read through the whole thing in 1 year, and plans are carried out, and all these good thoughts start up in January, only to fall flat. Because you just got bogged down, or there was hard questions or sections that you just got caught up in, and you just sort of gave up. And that's why I'm not going to tell you your resolution is to do it all by yourself. The resolution for me and for you is to do it together, as a group, as a congregation, so that we can hold each other accountable with our Bible reading, so that we can help to answer questions or hard sections of Scripture that you get caught up in. Let's do it together. And here's how I'm proposing to do that. If you have a smartphone, go to the app store, whatever app downloading thing you have on your phone, and download an app called simply Bible. Should be able to remember that one, right? But it looks something like that. Make sure it's the icon that says Holy Bible. There's a couple other different ones, but that's the one you're looking for. Bible. It's sometimes called the YouVersion app. So if you have a smartphone, go on your app store and download that onto your phone. Or if you would prefer, you can go on your computer and you can go to the website Bible.com. And when you've gone to either of those places, you create a free user account. And then from there, I can send you an invite to a specific Mount Olive group, a Bible reading group, with a specific plan laid out to read the entire Bible in 1 year in chronological order. See, the beauty of us doing this together is that we can be there to encourage each other. We can be there to hold each other accountable. We can be there to answer the difficult questions as we come to them. We can do this work as a body of believers. So after you've gone to these, you've downloaded, or you've gone to the website, I've sent you the link, you're accessing it, you're part of the group, then every day there are chapters of the Bible that you are to read. And I'll be there reading through the same chapters every day to put some discussion questions and answer questions that may come up and have you answer each other's questions as we come along. See, it's a group thing. We do it together as a family of believers to encourage each other and build each other up and to hold each other accountable. That's such a valuable thing for us to do. So if you want to do this, if you want to be a part of this group, and I really am going to encourage you to do this, what you have to do tonight is you go back out into the atrium, and there's a two-sided sheet of paper. Put your name on there, and if you want me to text that link to you, because you're using your smartphone, give me a cell number. If you're using your computer and want to send an email address, I can email the link to you. If you'd rather just use a paper copy and you want me to print one for you, I can do that too. But consider doing this. Not just to say that we read our Bibles, but so that we can daily be reminded of God's unfailing love as He shares that in His Word. So that every day our faith can be strengthened. Every day you wake up or you go to bed with the joy and unfailing love of God filling your heart. It's a beautiful thing for us to do together. You see, if we're being realistic about our days, we want to make the most of them. We're going to be purposeful with them as it comes to our spiritual lives. And I can guarantee that if you take the time to dig into God's Word every single day of the next 365, I can guarantee that you will be satisfied more with your life than you were before. That you will have more joy and gladness in your life because you're being reminded of God's unfailing love every single day instead of being so caught up in all the other stuff that goes on in your life. So let's do it together, as a group, as a family. See, Richard Overton, he would talk about, in a joking way, he'd talk about how his longevity could be tied back to his whiskey or to his ice cream or to his smoking cigars. But what he truly said when asked about the secret of his long life was this. He said, I'd ask them to stay busy and talk to the Lord and live with the Lord. Live with the Lord. Let him take care of you. It's a pretty good minister, or pretty good motto for life, isn't it? Live with the Lord and let him take care of you. No matter how many days you have, whether it's 12 years or 112 years, whether if this is your last year or if you have many more years to come, live with the Lord. Lord, teach us to number our days aright. Lord, satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that every single day of our lives, every single day of 2019, we might be filled with joy and gladness because of your unfailing love for us. God grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Please stand.